Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
There was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there, who had been ill for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, good morning. I'm Reverend Erin Grayson, and I'm delighted to be with you today. I may know some of you, and others I may get to know, I hope. I live here on Bainbridge Island, and I'm a part of a community ministry, I'd like to say. I'm an ordained minister in the Presbyterian Church, USA, and a big supporter and participator in the senior ministry that Deacon Dan runs here from St. Barnabas. So it is a real joy to be with you this morning. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As Christians, we talk a lot about transformation. You could say that transformation is the very cornerstone of our faith. We profess belief in a God who, through the mystery of divine love, has the power to redeem what is lost, restore what is broken, and heal what is wounded. Christian faith is defined by the promise of ultimate transformation through Jesus Christ, from death to eternal life. In this life, we trust that our encounters with God or divine love begin the process of changing us profoundly from one way of being to another, all for the good. Scripture bears witness throughout time to the one who is constantly making all things new, working all things together for the good, and reconciling the world to God's self. And friends, that includes all of us too. Yes, transformation defines Christianity, and yet, while we are willing to profess it with certainty in the words of our belief, we are less inclined to accept the holy gift of transformation because, if we're honest about it, we don't like change. It's uncomfortable. It forces us into places of uncertainty, and it's so much easier to stand on familiar ground. Even if on some level we understand that change is full of potential for growth, we just as soon resist it because we understand that transformation asks something of us too. A faithful response. In other words, although God initiates transformation by God's grace, we have some responsibility too. Friends, we need transformation. Our nation needs change. Now, And it's not going to be comfortable or easy, but if we resist it, our Christian confessions and creeds and doctrinal beliefs are nothing more than empty words. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I stand here today, just a week after a shooting in a California Taiwanese congregation that claimed the life of Dr. John Chang, who had the courage to change, to put a stop to the violence unfolding in front of him at his church, his place of worship, a church like the one we're sitting in today. It cost him his life. The shooter in that case was influenced by toxic political ideology. Just days earlier, an 18-year-old gunman shot and killed 10 people innocently shopping for groceries. Roberta Drury, Aaron Salter, Margus Morrison, Andre McNeil, Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, Ruth Whitfield, Zaire Goodman, Jennifer Warrington, and Christopher Braden. This time, the shooter was influenced by the conspiratorial replacement theory, the false and sinful belief that the white race will be replaced by minorities and therefore their murder is justified. In both of these cases, and all the other shootings that we have to contend with in our country, hate is at the root of their actions. And I'm only highlighting two of the most recent hate-filled rampages that have claimed the lives of God's precious children. The victims are shamefully numerous. Tragically, there is nothing we can do to return these beloveds to their families, friends, and communities. There is nothing good or purposeful about their deaths. Their loss is our loss, and it is reflective of the reality of our collective sin. We are all left wounded, and our black and brown siblings echo the lament of the prophet Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Destruction and violence are before us, friends. Strife and contention arise. So the law, it seems, becomes slack, and justice never prevails. Yes, this situation feels bleak, and Jesus weeps with us. And yet, by the mysterious gift of God's grace, transformation is possible. Just ask the family of Ruth Whitfield. In their grief, they're already hoping that these ashes of death will be transformed into something good. They are putting their trust in the process of transformation to bring healing. And we hope with them. But we have to be willing to change too. Do you want to be made well? Jesus asked this question to the paralyzed man by the pool of Bethesda. Scripture tells us that this man had been in the same position at the edge of healing waters for some 38 years. But still, he skirts around the question, never really offering Jesus a straight answer. Sir, he replies, I have no one to put me into the pool when the waters are stirred up. As readers and hearers of the scripture, we're left wondering why, in 38 years, no one has ever helped this man into the water, especially if he has a prime spot near the edge of the pool in front of all of the other poor souls farther behind him. We are tempted for a moment to pity him. But in so doing, we might miss the point of this story as so well explained by pastor and writer Eric Elms, who suggests that this gospel story might be the only one of a person who actually did not want to be healed. Now, withholding unfair judgment about this man's physical disability and resulting poverty, Pastor Elms says, this man, he has no interest in being healed. He's making a living and he has the respect of his peers. His social, religious, and economic world revolves around the pool. His life is defined by his perceived limitations. To heal this man would be to disrupt everything he knows and has become accustomed to. To be healed would take away his certainty. It would cause him discomfort because it would demand a change in the way he lives. And moreover, it would ask of him a faithful response. Jesus healed him anyway. Pick up your mat and walk. And here is where our scripture lesson for today ends. Before we know if or how the man responds as he walks away into the distant horizon. Spoiler alert. Jesus finds him begging later on and reminds him that he has been made well, and he implores him to go and sin no more. Instead of gratitude, the man walks to the authorities and reports Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. We might wonder, why would Jesus heal this person? But maybe a better question might be one of self-inquiry. How am I like this person? Church, how are we like this person? Jesus knows we need healing, and just like the paralyzed man, he nudges us toward the healing, life-giving waters. But we don't always respond faithfully because change is hard. We too worry about our own discomfort. Will speaking up and out against deadly anti-Christian ideology like the conspiratorial replacement theory and toxic political tribalism, will that put us at odds with others in the public square when we just as soon stay quietly and complicitly on the sidelines? We too wonder what transformation will ask of us. Will dismantling white supremacy and toxic political ideology find us in unfamiliar territory where our own privileged and familiar ways of life might be reordered for the good of all? And like the man at the water's edge, we too may find ourselves paralyzed by fear. But friends, Jesus is here, now, asking us, do you want to be healed? And if the words of our professed beliefs are worth their weight, we'll respond faithfully, yes, Lord, heal us. And then we'll find the courage to enter into the troubled waters of the unknown and trust in the transformation with the encounter with divine love. God is not asking us to be martyrs with our bodies. Instead, God is asking us to transform the destruction and the violence and injustice of racism and tribalism by using our voices in daily conversation with family and friends, to use our voices to let our elected officials on both sides of the aisle know that we will not tolerate hate-filled conspiracy theories. God is asking us to participate in constant self-inquiry and abundant compassion. How do racist and tribal ideologies live in you and me? And instead of getting annoyed when we don't understand how someone could take offense at something we consider harmless, God is asking us to always err on the side of compassion, to consider our misunderstanding an opportunity, a potential for learning and growth, for transformation. God is asking us to respond faithfully, to let our fear of the unknown be transformed into courage, trusting in the power of God's love to redeem, to restore, and to heal, as we witness in Scripture. God is asking us to renew our faith in the one who is always and forever making all things new, reconciling the world to God's self. God is asking us to go and do likewise, proclaiming the good news as we pour out our healing love on our neighbors and communities and nation and world in Jesus' name. Friends, we know transformation is a process. And like the paralyzed man in Scripture, Jesus gives us a second chance. We've had a second chance, and a third, and a fourth, and so on and so forth. Now is the time. Let us wade into troubled waters and be healed. Let us go and sin no more. Take up your mat and walk. May it be so. All glory to God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.